Good morning. Today's daf in Rosh Hashanah Zvav. We are on the bottom of Amud Beis, and we are continuing in our discussion. Gemara's discussion today, as it has been now for a couple days, is the Isser Bal Te'acher. Torah tells us that once you are making a pledge, neder, nedava, so you're not allowed to delay. So, and the Torah says doing so would be a violation of a law. Exactly at what point in time are you in a formal violation of the Isser, Daraisa? So, it's a machlokas amongst the Tanaim, major machlokas amongst the Tanaim, five opinions. The Gemara, all the way going back to Daf Dalet, where we started with this discussion. So, the Gemara introduces to five different opinions: Chachamim, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon. And I'm not going to go through all five opinions right now, but suffice to say that the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, which is our Mishnah, so the first Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, So it has to be three regalim, and it has to be in succession, beginning with Pesach. So that means to say that if you made your neder before Pesach, so now, when you go through those three regalim now in order, starting with Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkah, so at the conclusion of Sukkah, so one now is formally in violation of Bal Te'acher. That's the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. That means that according to Rabbi Shimon, if you made your neder after Pesach, so now you're not on the clock yet, meaning so Shavuot doesn't count, and Sukkot is not going to count. It's only when you get to next Pesach, now you're on the clock. Now you're starting with your first Yontif. And you got two more to go before you violate Bal Te'acher. That means that you're going to go for five Yamim Tovim before you violate Bal Te'acher in that scenario, in that situation. Good. That's the Shita Rabbi Shimon. That's our Mishnah. There are four other Shitas which we're not going to review right now. Anyway, so we are in the discussion of Bal Te'acher, and this is it. The Gemara's Rosh Hashanah, Daf Dalet, Hey, and today's Daf Davav. So all going to be dedicated and focused to this Isser in the Torah of Bal Te'acher. We are going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. The Gemara v'haya b'chachet. So this is a citation of the pasuk. The pasuk is found in Parshas Kisetze, Perchav Gimel, pasuk Chav Beis. I'm just reviewing the pasuk for all of us, myself foremost. Kisidur neder l'Hashem l'kecha. So when you make a pledge, and if you remember yesterday's daf, we learned that neder includes also nedava as well, even though the Torah doesn't say nedava. So, lo sachel shamos, you're not allowed to delay in paying it, ki darosh yishenu Hashem lokecha, it's demanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Me'imach from you. We'll be spending a lot of time with that word me'imach today. Ve'aya b'cha chet. And in failure to do so, you're going to have a chet. V'chisech to lindor. Let's stop over there. Okay. So ve'aya b'cha chet. So the Gemara now is focusing on the end of the pasuk. So ve'aya b'cha chet v'lo b'karban cha chet. Okay, now if you remember the brisa yesterday, which the Gemara now is reviewing for us, so the sin is going to be on you, but it's not going to be on the animal, meaning the animal is not going to be disqualified. The animal is still eligible to be brought as a carbon. So even though you're in violation, nevertheless, the animal itself does not become possible. Good, that's what the brisa taught us. The Gemara is bothered not by the halacha, but by the fact that it seems that we already have sources to teach us this very halacha. So the Gemara says, we have a brisa and it learns it from a totally different source. And the Gemara quotes, Achim Omrim Yachul Ye Bechor Shavrash Naso Kipsul HaMekdashim V'yipasel. So if the Bechor is not brought within its first year, meaning it should be brought within its first year, and if it's not, so one would have thought, Yachul, I would have thought that it's like Psul HaMekdashim. It's like a karma which is disqualified. So Tamalam Ravachaltof Nesha Melkecha Masar Degan Chatiroshcha Vitzarecha V'Choras Bekarcha V'Tzorcha. So here in Parshas Re'ei, so the Torah says that what you're going to be eating is a number of items, all with kedusha, and included in this list is Meiser and Bechor. So Mekish Bechor La Meiser, and we have a Hekish over here in the pasuk. Ma Maaser in Nifsa Mishan Al Chaverta, Af Bechor in Nifsa Mishan Al Chaverta. So just like Meiser doesn't become disqualified, even though you hold on to Meiser for a year later, it doesn't become disqualified. So the truth of the matter is, there is no disqualification for Meiser. But the point is that that's the exact purpose of the Torah, putting the two together. Just like by Meiser, you're not going to be in. Just like by Meiser, there is no disqualification. The Meiser, same thing is true by Bechor. So now what we have are two sources that teach us the very same halacha. And so the question begs, why do I need two sources? It's directly Gemara says it's necessary. So I would have said, okay, Bechor. So Bechor is providing Kapara. It's not providing Kapara. So Bechor, the way it became a carbon is simply by being the firstborn. So fine. So there I would have said that there's no Ritzui. It's not providing any kind of Kapara. So fine. So therefore, it doesn't become disqualified. Aval kashim de bnei artzarni enuim alo lo lirtzu. So, but I would have thought that by a carbon that which is there to provide kapara, so perhaps the havamina would have been that there would be some sort of not only a violation on you, but there would also be a disqualification on the animal as well. So kamash malan. So the gemara says fine. That's a chiddush. Ve'akati midib ben azay nafka. So the gemara says okay, but I'm gonna provide for you a third source that teaches us this halacha that the carbon does not become disqualified despite the fact that the owner of the carbon violated the iser of Baal Te'achir. Detanya, we learned in a brisa. We are now on the very top of Avam and Aleph. So Ben Azay Omer, so this is by the iser in the Torah of Pigel. So by Pigel, the Torah says Lo Yeratzeh Makrivaso Lo Yichashev. If a kohen engages in the psul of Pigel, which means that while shechting the carbon or doing any one of the four avodas, so he has a machshava, he has a thought, he articulates a thought that the carbon will be consumed chutz zmano beyond its prescribed time or chutz mkomo. Or beyond its prescribed place. So we know the Torah says with clarity that under those circumstances, the carbon will be disqualified. So benazeh omer oso matam lomer. So when the Torah says it will be disqualified, so we already know what's going to happen. Oso is a miut. It's always an exclusionary term. Lefishin emeloseh chalasham osho me'ani af me'acher nedra beval yeratza. And here's what the Torah is telling us by Pigel. Because I know, fast forward to Parshas Kiseitse, our pasuk, of Baal Te'acher. So the Torah also there says, Baal Yeratzeh. Or I'm sorry, I would have thought that there, if you fail to bring it in its prescribed time, so you'll be subject to Baal Yeratzeh. So Tamalam Roso, Oso Belo Yeratzeh, Ve'imacher Nidro Belo Yeratzeh. No. The Oso is coming to tell me that only by Pigel, so there it's going to be disqualified, but when you move to something similar, what's similar to Pigel? So Baal Te'acher is similar to Pigel. It's not the same, but it's similar. Meaning, what is Pigel? Pigel is a Kohen saying, I'm going to eat it beyond its prescribed time. So in other words, you're outside the bounds of time. And Baal Te'acher is very similar. Meaning, you were supposed to bring it by a certain time, you didn't bring it by that time. So Oso is coming to tell me that only by Pigel is it going to be disqualified, but Baal Te'acher it's not going to be disqualified. So the Gemara says, fine. So now it's too much, meaning too much. We have now a total of three different sources that teach me that for Baal Te'acher, even though you violated the Isser, but the carbon itself does not become disqualified. So three sources already is now too much. Now for two sources, so that the Gemara says that we can handle because we had it at Sri Chusa. But already three sources, that's beyond. So Ella, so the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to have to do is we're going to go all the way back to the beginning and we said, Bechachet, the sin's going to be with you, V'lo Bishachachet. But the sin is not going to be by Ishtecha. It's not going to be by your wife. Okay, so a totally different drasha. And the Gemara says like this. So because we know that we have the following Mesora. Question of whether Rav Yochanan or Rav Elazar said it, but we have a Mesora. And that is, so how is it that a man's wife dies before him? So it's because he made a pledge, tzedakah. They asked him to deliver on his pledge, and he refuses. And as a result of that, so the wife dies. Shenamar, pasuk in Mishlei. Obviously, I know this is harsh, but a pasuk in Mishlei. So if you don't have what to pay, so why should they take literally the bed that's underneath you? Right. So in other words, right, so it's a reference to one's wife. And so, Ema b'hai avo de Baal Te'acher nami ishto mesa. So now that I have that Mesora and the pasuk in Mishlei that supports it, that when a person defaults on a pledge that he makes in terms of tzedakah, so we know for the avon, so his wife dies, so I might have thought that the same thing should be true about Baal Te'acher, so kamash malan. So what the Torah says is, b'chachet, no, that for the Isra, Baal Te'acher, it only affects the husband, but it's not going to affect his wife. Okay, kamash malan. Okay, it's a difficult consequence, right? I heard and saw a couple of pshatim in terms of how she. In other words, we have a general klal throughout. Right, we have a general klal throughout Scharva Onesh. That Scharva Onesh is for you. It's not for it's based on your actions. It's not going to be based on other people's actions. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Lo yimsu avos abanim ubanim alavosam. Right, nobody's going to be bearing other people's chataim. So over here, it is an extraordinarily difficult Gemara. You say something along the lines of, and again, I don't have a source, a direct source, but you're going to say something along the lines of, and the wife was supportive of his refusal. I mean, he made a pledge and he didn't pay it, and the wife said, "Oh, good, right. I want to do this." In other words, she was supporting his bad behavior. Okay, so you'll say something along those lines. Okay, Tana Rabbana. Okay, so far this morning, so we continue our discussion about Te'acher. We know we've seen now not once, twice, but three different times that when a person is in violation of Te'acher, so it only affects him, and it doesn't affect neither his korban nor his wife. Right? I know that's a funny sentence, but right in the Gemara that we just covered, that's already a quick summary. Tana Rabbana, Motzei Sfasecha. So here now we are continuing. We are Pasuk Chav Dalet, right? So again, the whole parsha of Baal Te'acher is found in Parshas Kisetse, and it results in three different psukim: Chav Bimel, Chav Beis, Chav Gimel, Chav Dalet. So now we are in Chav Dalet, and the Gemara is going to darshan. And just again, I'm going to quickly look at the pasuk together. Motzei Sfasecha Tishmor. So you got to be careful about everything that comes out of your mouth. Ve'asisa Kasher Nadarta, and you got to do exactly what you pledged. Lashem Lokecha. Nidava asher dibarta beficha. So basically, you got to keep your word. Okay? But as we know, what the Gemara is going to do now is it's going to dissect and explore every phrase in the pasuk. So, Moses vasecha zumetzosase. So, we have Moses vasecha, which is a positive commandment, meaning that when you make a pledge, so you're bound by an ase, a positive commandment, that you got to keep it. So, Tishmor zumetzoslosase. Tishmor is telling us that not only is it an ase, there's also a losase as well. Okay, Rashi quotes the Gemara elsewhere that when you have the words pan al hishamer, so that's a lav in the Torah. Okay, good. So tishmor means it's a lav. Ve'asisa, so azar lebeisin shi'asucha. So ve'asisa comes to teach me that not only is it going to be your responsibility, it's also going to be Basin's responsibility as well. They're there for encouragement. And when I say encouragement, so as we all know, encouragement can sometimes be a little bit strong, but encouragement. So the nadarta is a reference to ned. L'Hashem Lokecha is a reference to other karbanos. Chatas Hashem Olos Shlamim. Nidava k'mashmao. Nidava doesn't need a drasha. Self-explanatory. Asher dibarta lekachi bedek abayis. Asher dibarta comes to include not just karbanos, but if you make a pledge to bedek abayis, so you're also going to be bound by the ase lo sase. And beficha zu tzaka. And beficha is a reference to tzaka. Okay. So Adkan, that takes us through the pasuk and the drashas chazal that are connected with the pasuk. And what we get to do now, as we classically do, is we get to sit on this brisa and examine and explore some of the points that were made in this brisa. Amar mar motzis vasechas u'mitzvah sase lamali. I need a pasuk to tell me that there's a mitzvah sase that you must commit to your pledge. So the Gemara says we have a pasuk me vasa shama ve'vesam shama nafka. So it's learned out from another pasuk. So and tishmor zumitzosase lamali. Additionally, the word tishmor, so that tells me it's a losase milo sachel shamonafka. Okay, so we already have a pasuk that tells me it's a lav in the Torah, and not only do we have a pasuk, but right there, meaning pasuk habeis two pasukim earlier. So it says losachir and v'asisa zar labeis and shiasuch lamali mak. Lamali mi yakrivos onafka, and over here you need Basin's encouragement, and encouragement over here is that they're going to motivate you, encourage you, and if necessary they'll beat you. In other words, I'm not learning it from this pasuk over here. I have another pasuk that tells me that the Tanya will enter the brisa yakrivos amalami shikofino sov yachlo bakarfo tamalo lirut sono. So in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra, so the Torah says yakrivos, so yakriv is hifil. Right? In other words, we're going to cause him to offer it. I might have thought, okay, good, so we'll twist his arm until he offers it. No, he's got to do it willingly, so no. So Hakeit said, Kofidosaj, Yamarotsani. So it's very simple to just simply blend, synthesize these two psukim, these two phrases. And that is that you force him, but at the same time also, you force him until he says, yeah, I want to bring it. Okay. So now, what do we have? So basically, what the Gemara is bothered by is that we have redundancy three times over. A redundancy on the positive commandment, on the negative prohibition, on the encouragement of Beis Din. So all three of these drushes that we had over here, In our pasuk is already found in other pasukim. So the Gemara says chad amar velo afresh, chad afresh velo akrif. So the Gemara says, okay, but we are going to be really discussing two different categories in terms of pledges. So there are two stages of the pledge. There is the commitment, the verbal commitment, but it hasn't yet been makdish the animal. And then he was makdish the animal, but he hasn't brought it yet. And what do I need is I need the full complement of these psukim to go on both of these categories. Utsrich, and they're necessary. Di'i ashminan amar velo afresh mishim delo kaimili dibura. So when does he need the strong encouragement, the asay, the los asay, the encouragement of Beis Din? So if we were just talking about the category where he verbally commits, but he hasn't been mafresh the animal, so there, yeah, in other words, to get to the point from verbal commitment to actually setting aside money or setting aside the animal, okay, that's a big jump. And he may need some extra encouragement. Good. Aval afresh v'lo akriv, but if he already was makdish the animal, and now it's just a question of bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash. Well, he's practically there. And not only is he practically there, but Ema kol hecha diyisa beigas of derech mani yisa. And we know that, in other words, once he's makdish the animal, it's no longer his property. It's now property of the Beis HaMikdash. So I might have thought that at that point in time, he's good. We don't need a lav, we don't need an asay, we don't need encouragement of Beis Din. So tzricha. So that's how we need. So there's the extra tzrichusa in that direction. But now let's go in the other direction. Now, if I only had the stage where he was makdish the animal, but and I had all these drushas for after he was makdish the animal, but he hasn't brought it. So the Gemara says, I understand. Meaning, no, let's go. In other words, you're makdish the animal at that point in time. Now you have a karban, right? Is a bad analogy. Like, in other words, the bull's in the chamber. Let's go. Move on to the next step. But if you just made a verbal commitment, look, right, verbal commitments are important, but I might have thought, we don't need nasay, we don't need a lav, we don't need encouragement by Beis Din, so tzricha. So there, no, we do. Okay. Fine. So basically, what the Gemara says is that, yes, there is a repetitive nature of Pasuk Chav Dalet, on the assay, on the love, and on the base in encouragement. But the Gemara notes that the repetitive nature is because there are two stages of the commitment. There's the stage of going from verbal commitment to being makdish the animal, and there's another stage of being makdish the animal to actually bringing the animal. And I need for both. And it's richus, and it's necessary. Okay. In terms of the Gemara's statement over here that kofen asashi achiyom arosani, so there's a Rambam, and we've quoted the Rambam in the past. And we have an opportunity to quote the Rambam again, and the Rambam writes. And I don't have the Rambam in front of me, and I apologize, but so I'm paraphrasing. So the Rambam says, is that really the truth of the matter is that inherently we're all good people, and we all want to do the right thing. And what happens is, the source should be, so we have a Yetzara. And so the Yetzara makes it difficult, but the truth of the matter is that the Etzem in our real essence really wants to comply and really wants to do the correct thing. We want to be over to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And so the Gemara sounds funny, right? Twist his arm until he says, I want to do it, right? Does he really want to do it? Yeah. So the Rambam says, yeah, he really wants to do it. He just, right, the that is a obviously an important, a fundamental point the Rambam makes. Good. Okay, we are going to go back to our Gemara. We're halfway down of Vav Amud Aleph. Oh, me, matzah amar da'amar v'lo afresh, v'hana davak siva. So the Gemara says, now, you told me that there are two categories, right? And you told me one of the categories is Amar Velo Afish. He made a verbal commitment, but he didn't set it aside. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. We have Nedava, meaning in the Pasuk itself that we just quoted. So it mentions Nedava. So if it's none, and we know it's a Mishnah Megillah. So Ezu Neder Haomer Hare Alai Ola. Ezu Nedava Haomer Hare Zu Ola. Oma Be Neder Ladava Neder Mesa Nignav Chai Bach Yuso. Nedava Mesa O Nignava Inu Chai Bach Yuso. Okay, so the most basic distinction that we make time and again, it's the Mishnah Megillah, between Neder and Nedava. Neder is on me, it's Alai. Meaning I have personal liability, I have personal responsibility. Something happens to the animal, I have to make good on my commitment. On the other hand, what's the Nedava? Nedava says, simply makdish an animal, and that's it. If I end up bringing the carbon, that's great. And if something happens to the carbon, I'm not on the hook. So there is no recourse, there's no personal liability in the case of Nedava. So the Gemara says, so let's think about what you're saying. You're telling me that he made a verbal commitment, but he wasn't makdish the animal. If we're talking about Nedava, there's no stage of verbal commitment, but you haven't been makdish yet. Nedava, you go straight to animal. In other words, you point to an animal and say, zoo, this animal over here. And there's no personal liability, and there's no and there's no recourse. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. You're right. Amar Rava Mishkachala. So the Rava says, okay, I understand under normal circumstances, you're 100% correct. Nidava, we go straight to Karban. There's no first stage of verbal commitment, now let's go to Karban. You're right, under normal circumstances. But over here, we could give an Ukimta. Okay. So over here, you say Hare Alai, but with no recourse. Now, can you do that? So the Gemara says yes. I'm thinking to myself, no, you can't. The Torah does not allow for that. Meaning, the Torah says that by definition, a neder is where there's personal recourse. And over here, what are you doing? You're gonna rewrite the rules of the Torah. Isn't that what's called Masna Mashikasa Batara? So I'm happy to report to you that Tosfos is bothered by that question. The very last Tosfos, but Tosfos just simply dismisses it. He says, "Nah, this is not Masna Mashikasa Batara." But Tosfos doesn't go on to explain why. So I'm left with struggling now. Okay, so I have to explain why it is. I don't have an explanation, but at least I'm in the same thought process as Tosfos. Good. Okay. We go back to the Gemara. B'ficha zutztaka. So again, we had a brisa. The brisa quoted the brisa cited pasuk chav dalid, and then it was dorish every phrase in that pasuk, including the last word b'ficha. And b'ficha, that's a reference to zutztaka. So the Gemara says amarava b'tztaka mechayv alav la'alta. So as it relates to tzedaka, so when you obligate to bring to give the tzedaka, so that's immediately. My time edaham edakai me'anim. So Tosfos says, because look, you have, I'm sorry. The Gemara says, because the anim are right there. So pshita, the Gemara says, now isn't that obvious? No, ma'u detem ekevin debin yana de karbanos ksive adi avrala gimol regalim ke karbanos. So look, here's the havamina, right? Beficha we're darshing tzedaka, but contextually it's in a pasuk that talks about karbanos. So I might have thought, maybe, that it's the same as Karbanos. Karbanos, you have three regalim, also the same as Tzedakah as well. Kamash Malan, Hasam hu did Talina Rachmana Biragalim, Avahach alone, Dashri Chanim. So, but the difference is obvious, and the Gemara spells out the difference. When it comes to Karbanos, so Karbanos is going to be a function of regal, meaning you are expected to be in the base of Mikshah three times a year. And what the Torah is telling you is that any commitment that you make in terms of Karbanos, so you have three opportunities, right? Three strikes and then you're out. But there I understand. But when it comes to tzedakah, the anim are right there. The anim are right there. So what are you going to say? Ah, I got more time. Nah, not today. I have more time. The anim are standing right there. It's an intuitive and obviously basic difference to be made. But at least as a havamim is concerned, so you understand that you have to look at the context. Okay, fine. Amarava. Kevin shavra alav regal echa over base. Okay? I'll say new topic. It's not really a new topic because, again, everything today is balte acher. But a new topic within Baal Te'acher, and that is the Shita of Rava. Rava says that, look, you have three Yamim Tovim, and by the third Yamim Tovim, you are going to be subject to a lav in the Torah. Rava says that's true, but once the first Yontif comes and goes, so you're in violation of an Aseh. Meisvei, the Gemara says, okay, but I will challenge you based on the following. Hey, Rav Yeshua, Rav Papayas, Avalad Shlamim, Shiakriv Shlamim. Okay, the offspring of a Karban Shlamim, so the offspring is going to have the Kedusha of a Shlamim, Amra Papai say ani mesh aisi lanu paro shozif cheshlamim v'achlunu bepesach v'achalnu v'lada shlamim bechag. So, and then the following story is reported, and that is, we had a para, it was a shlamim para, we offered it on Pesach, obviously not the carbon Pesach is male, in other words, but we offered our female shlamim on Pesach, and then, obviously, before the animal was shechted, so it gave birth to an offspring, and achlunav lada shlamim b'chag, and so the offspring we ate 6 months later and sukkos. Okay, so anyway, the whole point of the mission over there is that the vlad shlamim is nikrav as a shlamim. But anyway, but we're focusing right now on the following: mother was offered on Pesach, offspring was offered on sukkos. Now the obvious problem is that between Pesach and sukkos, you have another yontif. It's called shavuos, and we just learned b'shem Rava that when you pass your first yontif, you're already in violation of an asay. And so, the question, I'm just spelling it out, but we're going to see it together in the Gemara. So, you are telling me now that we have Tanayim, who are flaunting the fact that they violate an Aseh? That's very difficult to imagine. So, Bishlam, Bepesach, Loa, Karivu, Ema, Demechusters, Manaba. I understand why the offspring was not offered on Pesach. It's a very simple explanation. It was too young. We know we saw in Parshas Re, we landed over Yantiv. So Yom Hashmini Vala Yeratzeh, right? An animal only after only on its eighth day and onward. From then and only then could it be offered. Okay, so I totally understand how it is that the animal was not offered on Pesach. However, right, the mother just gave birth like days before Pesach. Good, but Ela Vlad about Sarah Zeich Mishkachalam. But as far as the Vlad is concerned, should you be bringing Shavuos? So Heichimashi Lava Avri Allah Baase, and you're telling me now that these Tanaim are in violation of Baase? That's impossible. It's not impossible that people could be in violation of Asay, but they're going to record it as halacha. And in other words, it doesn't make any sense. So Amar Azvid Mishmei de Rava Kagon. So the Gemara says, okay. So over here, I'll explain to you what's happening. And that is Kagon Shayachola about Sarah. So maybe the animal was sick on Shavuos. Okay. And a chola cannot be offered as a carbon. It's a, let's call it a mum, whatever the case is. So in other words, okay, there's a new kimta in terms of why the animal was not offered on Shavuos. Ravashi Amar, my vachluna vlada shlamim b'chag, diktani chag, hashivuos. Now, Ravashi is going to try to give a different answer, and that is that it didn't say sukkahs in the Mishnah. It simply said chag. Maybe chag means shavuos. The Gemara says, I don't love that answer. So, v'ida chalhecha didni pesach tini atzeres. So, the first one who gave an answer, he didn't like this answer. And the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because especially when you're talking about Pesach, and then if you're going to make reference to Shavuos, do you know what Shavuos is? Shavuos is a tzeres of Pesach. You will call Shavuos a tzeres, right? The Torah does. And, right, Shavuos is the end of the Pesach Yantiv. Just like Shmini Atzeres is the end of the Sukkot Yantiv, so Shavuos is also the end of the Pesach. There's a Ramban in Chumash. Ramban in Chumash describes the sphere that we count from Pesach to Shavuos. It's almost, it has a Chol HaMoed quality to it, meaning it basically is the link that connects Pesach to Shavuos. Anyway, we're going to be calling it Atzeres. We're not going to be calling it Chag. Okay, fine. Amar Rava, V'Amar Rava. Okay, again, new subtopic within Baal Teacher. V'Amar Rava came Shavu Lav Gimel Regan B'Chol Yom V'Yom over B'Baal Teacher. So once you go over three Yom and Tovim, so you're in violation of Baal Teacher. That's the pasuk in the Torah. What's Rava's additional point? So the additional point is that you will be in continuous violation. In other words, it won't just simply be a lav and that's it, but it'll be multiple lavim. Now, exactly what that means in terms of practical differences, the Gemara does not clarify. If I could suspect, maybe what right as a simple suggestion, according to Rava, it means like this. Let's say you got Malkus right afterwards. Now, again, I know I'm wrong. Because it's not a lav sheish b'maisa, it's a lav sheim b'maisa. So you're not going to get malchus. So, I'm back to where I was before the daf today. I'm like, well, there's got to be a practical difference. I don't have one. I still don't have one. Okay, anyway. But according to Rava, so it's not that you just violate one lav afterwards and that's it. It's going to be multiple lavin. All right. So the Gemara says, is that correct? So, meitzvah. So the Gemara says, so I'm going to challenge you. So echad bechor veechad kol kadosh and kevin shavur olam shana below regalim below shana over beval teacher. So the Brisa says that whether we're talking about a bechor, we're talking about any karban. So once you pass a full year, even though you didn't go through three yantifs, or once you go through three yantifs, even though you didn't pass a full year, you're in violation of beval teacher. Okay. Now in a moment we're going to ask. In a moment the Gemara is going to perk up on the right. You can go a full year without seeing three regalim. Right, we're gonna discuss that, and as Rashi points out over here, this is like a variant version of Rabbi Shimon. Right, Rabbi Shimon says you got to go through three regalim. So in the Brisa we just learned, it is three regalim, but it's also a full year as well. Right, meaning one or the other, whichever comes first. So this is not exactly Rabbi Shimon Shita; it's a variation of Rabbi Shimon Shita. Anyway, but the point the Gemara now wants to make is, well, actually, the Gemara is not sure what the point it wants to make is. And in fact, the Gemara immediately reacts. Now, remember, what are we trying to challenge? We're challenging Rava, who said that after three regalim, you're in continuous violation of Baal Teacher. And we just quoted this Brisa. And the Gemara now wants to know, hi, my Tiyufta. Okay, you quoted the Brisa. I got that part. How is the Brisa difficult? So, I'm Rav Kahana, Manda Kamosif, Shapa Kamosif. So, no, Rav Kahana says no. The person challenging from the Brisa, he knew what he was doing. So, Michti, Tana, Alave, Kamahader. So listen, b'chol yom v'yom over b'val te'acher. So Rav Kahana says that the maksha, the challenger, so he thought that, look, The Braisa obviously is teaching about the lav. Here's what the Braisa should say. That after three regalim or after a year, so you're going to be in violation of a lav, and furthermore, multiple lavin. So that's what the Braisa should say. So the Gemara says, "V'idach tana l'mikveh b'lav kamahader b'lav yisir lo kamahader." The counter argument to that is extraordinarily simple. The Braisa is just telling us when, at what point in time, you are first eligible for a lav. The Braisa at this point in time is not interested in telling us that with continual delinquents, you're going to be perpetuating the lav. The Braisa is just telling us when is the first point of eligibility. Okay, gufa. So the Gemara says, okay, we just quoted a really interesting Braisa, and let's explore a little bit more. Echa b'chor v'echa kol ha-kadosh m'kevin sh'avar leim shana below regalim, regalim below shana over b'val te'acher. So when you're in violation of b'val te'acher, either three yamin tovim or a year, whichever comes first. Okay, so to which the Gemara says, huh? What? Now again, Rashi already pointed out, this is not exactly Shitas Rabbi Shimon. It's a variant. Okay, good. But anyway, bishlam regalim below shana mishkachala elo shana below regalim echa mishkachala. So I certainly can easily entertain how you can have three yamim tovim before the year is up. In fact, three yamim tovim can come within a 6 month span, a little over 6 months, but you understand. Okay, that's easy. But I'll tell you the part that's not easy. So, how are you gonna get to a year before going through three regalim? Is that possible? Is that calendarically possible? To which the Gemara says, yeah, it is. You just have to know the calendar really well. And so the Gemara is going to introduce us to the calendar, like more than an introduction. So hanich lamandis lekisidra mishkachala lamandales lekisidra neichem mishkachala. Now, if you held just like Rabbi Shimon, meaning the original Rabbi Shimon that we saw now 2 days ago, 3 days ago, daf dalet. So if you went like Rabbi Shimon, so it's fine. In other words, so you're not going to be in violation of Baal Te'achir until could be five regalim. And so, therefore, a year will come before five regalim. Okay, good. That part's fine. So, is the mishkachala bishlama l'rebi mishkachala bishana mu'beres. Now, if I hold like Rebbe, so actually, it works. And specifically, in a shnas mu'beres. The Tanya will learn to Brisa. Shana tamima Rebbe omer mona gimel me'ez v'shishim v'chamisha yom kemenye mosachama. V'chachama omer mona yud beiz chodesh miyom liyom. V'im nisabra shana nisabra lo. Okay, so we have a basic machlokus by Bate Arechoma. You sell a property in a walled city, from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Right, we're going to talk a little bit more about this in the beginning of Megillah. So the halacha is that if the sale lasted for a year, so the buyer now keeps the property in perpetuity. Good. So now a year. That's what the Torah says. What is a year? So you have two options, either solar year or lunar year. It's machlokus between Rebbe and the Chacham, and whether we go by solar year or go by lunar year. So now, according to Rebbe says that we go by solar year, 365 days. So now, Mishkachala le Rebbe, Da'akdash HaBasar Chagamatzos. So now it comes out as follows. So you are Makdashid immediately after Pesach. Dichi Matashili Adar Basra Shanamalia Regalim. I'm sorry, Shanamalia Regalim Lamalo. So now, you get to the next Adar. So now it's going to come out, right? You'll get to the next Adar. So now it's going to come out that you bypassed a whole year, but you haven't hit all the Yamim Tovim. That is if I go like the Shita of Rebbe. Okay, fine. But Ella Rabban Heshkim Echim Mishkachala. So the Gemara says, okay, but how is it going to work according to the Chachamim? Meaning, how could it possibly be that according to the Chachamim, where a year is judged by 354 days, so how can a year come before Gimel Regalim? It seems to be impossible. So the Gemara says it's not impossible. It's possible. Kedidni Rav Shmaya. So here, like, we have to know the calendar really well. And over here, what's the Ukimta? The following. Well, before we get to the Ukimta, we have to just introduce ourselves to one piece of information. Right? When is Shavuos? 50 days after Pesach. 50 days after the second day of Pesach. Good. Meaning, Sfir Salmer. We know. When is it going to come out in the calendar? So it could fluctuate. In other words, for us, it's not going to fluctuate. We have a fixed calendar. So for us, it's always going to be on the sixth day of Sivan. But there was a point in time where the months were determined by Adim and Beis Din. And so the months fluctuate. And so with the fluctuation of the month, so now there are three possible days in which Shavuos can fall out on. And here the Braisa takes us. atzeres when it comes to Shavuos. Pamim hey, pamim shisha, pamim shiva. So it can come out either on the fifth, sixth, or seventh day of Sivan. So aketza shnei malem chamisha. So here, if you're like really in tune with the calendar, by the way, you will see this really clearly and really, really easily. Let's say that both the month of Nisan and the month of Iyar are Malay. So now it comes out that when is Shavuot going to fall out on? It's going to fall out on the fifth day of Sivan, right? And the math works. It's going to be 15 plus 30 plus another 5. Okay. I know I'm doing this all too quickly, but if you see it, that's great. So, and Shneim Chasem Shiva. Now, if the months of Nisan and Iyar are both Chaser, so now it means that Shavuot is going to be on the seventh day of Sivan.
And 2 months in a row.
Yes, the answer is yes. Again, we have a fixed calendar, so we're not in tune to this, but yes. So echad malev echad chaser shisha, and if it's one malev and one chaser, so then it's going to be 6. Okay, fine. So now it comes out like this, and Rashi here now fills in the details. So now what happened is that you had Shavuos fall out on the seventh, meaning we're assuming that a year means a lunar year, not a solar year. But now what happens is that Shavuos falls out on the seventh. So what you did now is, I'm sorry, Shavuos falls out on the fifth. And what you did now is the next day, right, the sixth day of Sivan, which is the day after Shavuos, it's Yisro Chag. So what you did is you makdish the animal. Now, when is the year going to come out? So a year will come out the next year on the sixth day of Sivan. It happens to be that next year, so it happens to be that what Beis Din did is they made two chaser months of Nisan and Iyar, and now Shavuos is not going to come out until the seventh. Okay, fine. So under those circumstances, what happened? You went through a whole calendaric year, but at the same time, you haven't gone through three regalim. Okay, good. It's a super technical answer. But what it does is that it introduces us with it's like intermediate level calendar now. Okay, good. So, umantana de palgalad rashmaya chermi. Now, this idea that the month can have such fluctuation, so the Gemara notes that it's not consistent with the shita of Acherim. Did Tanya, we learned in the Brisa, Acherim Omrim, Ein Bein Atzeres Latzeres, Ein Bein Rosh Hashanah L'Rosh Hashanah, El Adalad Yamim Bevad, V'im Hayis Hashanah Mu'beres Chamisha. So hopefully this sounds familiar because we just did this at the end of Sukkah, and now we're doing it in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, and that is the shita of the Acherim. We alternate, and there's no discussion to be had. We just alternate. We go chaser male, consistently. Now, when you do that consistently, what happens at the end of every lunar year? In other words, you take 30 times 6, you add that to 29 times 6, and what you get is the 354. Now, what that and according to the Cherem, that's it. You do that. I know there's a lot of follow-up questions, which I don't have answers to. They don't subscribe to a low Adu Rosh. I guess not. Whatever. I know. But anyway, but what comes out like is like this. So according to the Acherim, which we happen not to follow, but according to, and again, by the way, we have a fixed calendar. So for us, like these Gemaras now kind of, you know, become a history lesson. Then our calendar is fixed. We have nothing to talk about. But in other words, prior to the fixing of the calendar, according to the Acherim, you're still going to be alternating pattern with a year of 354 days. So now I know that next year's Rosh Hashanah is always going to be 4 days later. Done. In other words, 350 divides evenly by 7, and now you have 4 additional days, so fine. So every Rosh Hashanah is going to be bumped ahead 4 days. What if we're adding an additional month? Because even according to the Acherim, you still need a system in which you need to coordinate the solar year and the lunar year. So you add a month. And so when you add a month, so what are you going to do? Adding a month, you're always going to add a month, which is Chaser, which is always going to be 29 days. And so that means to say that 28 days is divisible by 7. So that gives us one extra day. So if I'm adding another month, so in terms of days of the week, so it bumps me ahead 5 days on 4 days. Again, I know I did that really quickly. I apologize if I lost you. But anyway, but the point is that according to the Acherim, you're not going to have this scenario in which 1 year Shavuos came out on the fifth day of Sivan, another year is coming out on the seventh day of Sivan. That's not going to happen according to the Acherim. Okay.
Acherim, what's the alternate? They just say sum total end of the year is 4 days. It could be they still hold by Adu Rosh.
Oh, I see. In other words, then you'll just simply play around with it. In other words, I see what you're saying. You know you have 6 and you know you have 6. It's just now a question of how I'll position them. Right. Okay. Okay. You thought about it better than I did. Okay, good. By Rabbi Zeira. Let's do 2 more points for today and then we conclude. Rabbi Zeira asked the following question. Yorish ma bavalte acher. Okay, you inherit a carbon. So are you now going to be subject to Baal Te'acher? It's a good question. The Gemara has a very decisive answer. Well, before that, Kisidor Neder Amarachman of Halo Neder. So on one hand, maybe the Yisr is going to be a direct relationship to the fact that you made the commitment. And then when you inherit a carbon, you didn't make the commitment. Well, on the other hand, maybe, look, the Yarish has an obligation of Aliyah L'Rego. So if once you have an obligation of Aliyah L'Rego, so you got to bring a carbon. So Tashma, Dini Rabbi Chia, Me'imach, Pratli Yarish. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear the question, but I'm also going to give you a very direct answer. The Pasuk says, Me'imach, again, our Pesukim that we've been discussing now for the last number of days. And so to which the Gemara says, Pratli Yarish excludes the Yarish. Yarish is not bound by the Isser of Baal Te'acher. So the Gemara says, okay, but do you remember yesterday's daf? Hopefully the answer is yes. But do you remember yesterday's daf where we darshan the word me'imach? And me'imach, we darshan was shechapeya, lekesh shechapeya, which is included in Baal Te'acher. And remember Tosus was bothered. What? You leave that for the Aniyim. How could you be in violation of Baal Te'acher? Okay, Tosus was back on daf Dalam and Beis. Anyway, we discussed the Tosus yesterday. So kari be imach, kari be me imach. So it's a double drasha. One from the word imach, and the other one is from the additional mem. So fine. So the Gemara decisively concludes, the Yorish is not subject to Baal Te'acher. One more question for today. By Rabbi Zera. Isha mahi be Baal Te'acher. So is a woman going to be subject to the Isser of Baal Te'acher? Me amrin and hala mechai on one hand, so she doesn't have a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rego. So by Aliyah L'Rego, Rashi here quotes the pasuk called Zechorcha. So the male population is obligated in Aliyah L'Rego, not the women. So they don't have a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rego. So maybe Baal Te'acher is connected, makes a lot of sense, is connected to the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rego. And so since she no longer has the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rego, so maybe she's not bound by the law of Baal Te'acher. Odilma ha'isa b'simcha. The Gemara says, on the other hand, she does have a mitzvah of simcha, which means that she's going to go to the base of Mikdash and she's going to have karbanos. So Amalei Abai v'tepikle d'ha isa b'simcha. So so Abaye says, okay, so she has a mitzvah of simcha. So umi amar Abai achiv amar Abai isha bala mesamcha. So now the Gemara says, wait 1 second, Abai, do we not remember you said that when it comes to a woman, so now the way Rashi says it, Rashi over here, it's a bit of an unusual Rashi. Rashi says over here that the husband has a mitzvah to be a mesamecher by giving her clothing, different minhagim, bavel artisol, whether the clothing is going to be with colors, white. Anyway, that's the Rashi over here. Tosfos says that has nothing to do with our discussion. We're discussing Beis HaMikdash, Karban, Shami Simcha. So Tosfos just simply says, Rabbeinu Tam says a pshat. He says what Abaye meant was that, yes, she has a mitzvah of simcha, but it's not her mitzvah, it's her husband's mitzvah. Her husband has a mitzvah to provide carbon shlamim to his wife, but it's not her obligation, it's his obligation, right? Similar to the mitzvah peruvu, meaning that he has an obligation to do peruvu. Now, again, he needs her in order to do the mitzvah, but in other words, it's his obligation. So here also, meaning it's the husband's obligation to be mesameach his wife. So the Gemara says, Abaye, what are you asking? Meaning, I know your position is that for her there is no mitzvah of simcha. So the Gemara says, L'dvar of the Rabbi Zera Kamar. So the Gemara says, yeah, Abaye wasn't asking or presenting this vis-a-vis his own position. His own position is, I don't even entertain the question. Meaning, I don't think she has a mitzvah of simcha at all. I'm not even here to discuss it. But I know Rabbi Zera disagrees with me. So so I'm asking within the sheet of Rabbi Zera. Okay, fine. Okay, Adkan. This is where we stop, and this is where we quickly review. So a discussion to be had in today's daf, a continuation of Baal Te'acher. Baal Te'acher that was brought up on Daf Dalet. Now, the reason why it was brought up on Daf Dalet is because our Mishnah says that Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for both Malachim and Regalim. And now, we know, because we've spent now 3 days discussing it, tomorrow will be the last day in which we discuss it. So three days now we've been discussing that regala means Baal Te'acher. You make a pledge, you have to commit yourself to that pledge that you make, and you have within 3 yamin tovim to do it. Now again, that's an oversimplification, because there are 5 different opinions on the matter. But meanwhile, within those 5 positions, Rabbi Shimon Shita, which is our Mishnah, is that it has to be 3 regalim kisidron. And so what do we do over the course of today's daf? we invited, we continued our discussion. So we had the following discussions. Let's just rattle off the points of today's daf. One is that the if you're in violation of Baal Te'achar, that doesn't disqualify the carbon. Okay. Two, there is a both a positive, negative, and mitzvah based in to encourage you, and by encouragement, it means if necessary, twist your arm to do so. And the Gemara says, we have that in two different locations. The Gemara says, yeah, but there are two stages. We are from the stage of verbal commitment to actually being makdish the animal, and the stage from being makdish the animal to actually bring it as a carbon. Okay, good. That was our second point. Staka. We said that when the anim are right there, so the mitzvah of staka is effective immediately. You have to give the mitzvah of staka. I might have thought that you have time. You don't have time when the anim are right there. Okay. Rava's point. Rava's point on the bottom of Vav Amud Aleph is that with the even though you have three regalim before violating the lo saseh, Rava says, but once you pass your first regal, you're already in violation of the aseh. So the aseh and lo saseh are not running a parallel one with the other. Okay, fine. The Gemara challenged, but the Gemara ends up defending his position. Then the Gemara on the Amud Beis, on Vav Amud Beis, quotes a brisa that says that one is violation of Baal Te'achar either if they pass three regalim or if they pass a year, whichever comes first. Okay. And so what the Gemara did for the remainder of, really, almost the entirety of Vav Amud Beis is try to wrap its head around that brisa. Right? How could you possibly go through three regalim how could you go through a year and not have seen three regalim? Good. So the Gemara gave numerous suggestions in terms of how to do that. It gave us now, like, next level look at the calendar, of the Jewish calendar. Anyway, to succinctly summarize the Gemara, it's possible. It can happen. And then finally, we had two questions of Rabbi Zera to end off our daf today. One, is a Yoresh who inherits a carbon as part of the estate, is he in violation of Baal Te'achar? The answer is no. Two, is a woman going to be in violation of Baal Te'achar? And the answer is undetermined.